Well, this morning we're changing messages. You might see in your bulletin it's going to list a lot of different scriptures, but you can save that for next week. Because truthfully, my heart, my soul, my mind, my emotions are not where that message is at. Because of life events and things that have happened in the last week, I feel like I'd be just going through the motions of a message. And I think that's wrong when we come to the Word of God, so I want to honor God. And He did a confirmation in my heart before I walked in here, because I was just praying, God, I just need Your presence right now just to walk through this message. And this is what I ended up opening scriptures to, just randomly. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And when I read that, I actually kind of got into tears thinking, thank you, God. Thank you for revealing that to me, that I'm on the right path that you want me on. Because it's His words that brings life into our weary souls sometimes. It's His presence that lifts us out of the darkness. It's His light that drives the darkness out and restores the soul again. Some of you know that this last week my brother was put into the emergency room. We got a call Friday morning from the home that he's at. And it was kind of a strange call, because they said to me, "It's going to cost $333 to save your brother's bed." I'm like, what? And then they proceeded then to tell me that my brother was on the way to the emergency room. So I'm just like, okay, first of all, I was a little disturbed by their etiquette and their lack of compassion and lack of information. But I'm like going, okay, so he's on the way to the emergency room. And Angie and I got together and started our journey down there. And as we got down there, my brother was in the emergency room, and there's probably eight different doctors around him, and they were trying to figure out what he wanted, because what was happening is he aspirated, and his oxygen levels were dropping to a critical level, where if they didn't do something, then his organs would start shutting down. But they couldn't communicate with him because Kevin can't talk. And so we get into the emergency room, and the doctor gives us about a 3-minute synopsis of what's going on. And then I'm kind of going, okay, what are we supposed to do? Because now I'm his DPA, which is the durable power of attorney, which just happened on Wednesday. We just kind of walked through this stuff, and he says he doesn't want a breathing tube. But then Kevin's eyes locked with mine. I knew he was still coherent enough where we could have a conversation. And so I asked him, so I went over there, and he has a little board that he can point to letters. And I said, "Do you want a breathing tube?" And he points, "No." So we're just kind of, all the doctors and nurses that were around, it's kind of like a moment of like, okay. And then the emergency room doctor steps up and goes, "Well, you know, if you don't do this, Kevin, your organs are going to shut down," and da-da-da-da-da. Kind of goes through this whole spiel with Kevin. And then I kind of shared with Kevin again. I said, "Now, Kevin, do you understand that if they don't do the breathing tube, then your organs will completely shut down and you will pass?" And then he said yes to the breathing tube. And they put a breathing tube down him. And it's a tough decision in those moments. And I went out to the emergency room while they were doing that with Angie, and I was just like sick to my stomach. I was just thinking, in like 1 or 2 seconds, I had to make a decision for the life of an individual. And in my heart, I just became overwhelmed. And then we were dealing with my mom, and you guys know most of my mom's stuff. And my mom, she broke her ankle. She's in long-term rehab, what they call acute rehab. But we had to have a conversation with her that she, for 8 weeks, she's not going to be able to put any pressure on her foot. And she's already weak. So we don't know if she's going to walk again. So we had to have the conversation about going into assisted living. And I don't know about you, but during those times, just something deep inside your soul just gets so weary and so heavy. And I know many of you have experienced this. And I'm not saying this stuff to go, oh, poor us. I'm not doing that. Just the reality of that we're all dealing with some things that our soul is so weary and so down. Some of you are dealing with broken relationships. You're dealing with divorce. Some of you are dealing with illnesses. Some of you are dealing with job stresses. Some of you are just dealing with health in general. And it just becomes so weary that the soul is just so downcast. And I started to think about being weary. And how do we start to take our eyes off of all this vertical stuff, all the things that are going on in life, of the things with my brother, with my mom, maybe there's financial things, maybe it is a divorce, maybe it is a mom or dad leaving, maybe it is somebody in your family getting sick, whatever it is, we're all dealing with that. How do we look up vertically? I meant horizontal first time. But how do we get vertical? How do we start to go up and get our eyes set back and have our heart and our souls restored? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 42 kind of talks about the deep weariness of the soul. Now, some people would say that David wrote this, but most people would agree that it was probably one of his choir directors, possibly, kind of writing this to during a time in David's life where he was so overwhelmed to the point where he didn't know where to turn sometimes. And so, as we hear these words, I hope God just speaks into your soul. And that he can lift your soul up. And whatever you're facing, you start to realize that when we start to look up vertical and we start to see the Word of God and we start to see the truths and the promises of God, those things give us joy and they give us hope, and everything else pales in comparison. All this horizontal stuff that's happening in our lives really doesn't matter. Yes, it's overwhelming. Yes, it's hurtful, but when we set our eyes on the Lord, life is restored, and joy is restored, and there's hope. And so the psalmist starts out here, and he says, as the deer pants for streams of waters, so my soul pants for you, my God. I mean, just imagine a deer that's been running through the woods, that's been chased by hounds maybe or by people, and this deer is just panting, dying of thirst. And yeah, you might have seen videos where they're almost like drooling because of they're so thirsty, they're so weary, that it's just longing to get a drink. And the psalmist says that's our soul. Our soul is that weary sometimes, that is just longing for a drink of what? A drink from the living water, who is Jesus Christ, to restore, to bring hope, to bring new life again. And then he goes on, he says, my soul thirsts for God, the living God. In other words, there's nothing that's going to quench your soul. You can try to find self-help books. You can try to go to counseling. You can try to do all the things of this world. You can do medications. You can do all these things to try to escape and try to get rid of the anxiety, to try to get rid of the weariness. But nothing is going to quench the soul except for the living God. And I love how the psalmist says it. He's the living God. He's not a God that's far off somewhere. He's not a God that just kind of spun things into existence and is letting things happening around us. He's living. He's walking with us continually. And is always there to lean into. And we can take a drink of, if you will. And have that soul that's weary quenched. And he says, and this is the only thing that's going to quench your soul. Is the living God. And he says, then he goes on, he says, when can I go and meet with God? And I love that line. When can I go? Here's what we know, because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can go at any time, any moment, anywhere, and be in the presence of the living God. So the Old Testament's a little bit different because they didn't have the cross yet and what Jesus did. But here you and I, we have the living God inside of us. So where can I go? Meaning, he wants to worship. The soul that's weary needs to worship this God that's living. And then he goes on and he says, my tears have been my food day and night. while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One who shouts of joy and praise among the festive. And I just love this. Because he's like going, my tears, my weariness, they've been my food. I haven't even been hungry. That's how downcast my soul is. And when can I go into your presence? And when can I experience that joy again? When can I experience that praise and that hope that restores my soul? God, that's what I'm longing for, to be in your protection. And that's when we come together on Sunday, when we worship. That's part of us getting our souls lifted up. I don't know about you, but when the praise team was worshiping and singing those songs, my heart is just being lifted up. How do you help quench a thirsty soul? You praise. You begin to sing the praises of God. And you remember the promises of God that's in His Word. And it's like in this moment, the psalmist is like going, when can I have that moment with you, God? And for you and I, it's at a click of a button. You can go to YouTube, and you can click on any worship band that you love, and you can just start worshiping. You don't have to wait till Sunday. Or maybe it's in your mind, you have a hymn or a favorite song. You can just begin to worship. And he's like going, that's where the weary soul begins to get lifted. And the burden that you're feeling that's weighing you down, all of a sudden, it doesn't weigh you down as much. And then he goes on and he says, and I love this because this is what I do this, and I thought I was crazy, but I'm realizing that the psalmist might be crazy too. Because all of a sudden you have to start speaking to your soul. You got to start speaking to yourself. That the soul that's so weary needs, our mind has to instruct it sometimes. Because our soul kind of gets lost in emotions and all these horizontal things that are going on and around us that are bringing us down and overwhelming us and bringing the anxieties in us. It's like the soul is so down, and our mind, the intellect that God gave us, has to remind us that we have a God that is trustworthy. A God that is there in the middle of all of it and is in control. And so he begins to speak to the soul, and I would encourage you to speak to your soul too, to lift it up during these times. And he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed in me? It's like, soul, what is wrong with you? Soul, why are you walking around so downcast? It's like inside of me, it's like my head is down and I'm going, oh, whoa, whoa, is me. But even though on the outside I'm going, I'm okay. Because in America we put on a lot of masks. But he's going, in my soul, soul, what's wrong with you? You know we have a God that is great. You know that we have a God that is living and active and breathing life into you. And he says, soul, why are you so downcast? And then this is what he says to his soul. Put your hope in God. Don't put your hope in the things of the world. The things of the world, they're going to let you down. They're going to decay. Don't put your hope in another person. Soul, put your hope in God. And he says, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He's like, come on, soul. Look up vertical. Begin to praise, soul, from the depth of your innermost being. Worship this mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that knows how many hairs you have on your head. Start to look up and start to worship him. And then the soul is restored. The soul begins to live again, and it's not downcast. So how do you lift that with that weariness of the soul? Praising. Praising this awesome God that you and I serve. And telling not just your mind, but your soul, going, come on, soul. Start praising. Start worshiping him. And then he says, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. It's like going, okay, I just can't seem to get a grip on this. I'm so overwhelmed, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to remember what you've done. I'm going to remember you, he says. From the land of Jordan to the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, a deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, All your waves and breaks have swept over me. Day by day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. It's like he's going, I'm going to remember all these great things you've done. From here to there to everywhere. And then I'm going to do something. I'm going to pray. How do you get that soul that's so weary and downcast up? You praise and you pray. I love how another version of this says verse 8. And it says, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to the God who gives me life. I love that. Each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love into me. And the thing that I pictured, and if I would have had more time, I would have a picture up here, a glass. If you kind of envision a glass here, and then I'm pouring a pitcher of water, okay? Can you envision that? And it's like he's pouring his unfailing love in you every single day. That pitcher never runs dry of his unfailing love for you. And he says, let me pour into you. Yes, you don't feel like you can live or take another breath, or you're so overwhelmed, but let me pour my unfailing love into you. As you praise me, and as you take time in prayer with me, then I'm just going to pour this love in you. And then the soul all of a sudden begins to get restored because of his unfailing love that's inside. Because he's reminding you that he loves you no matter what you're facing. And what you're facing isn't a punishment. It's part of this world. It's part of the hardships that all of us experience. But he's like going, my unfailing love is unconditional for you. And I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And my unfailing love every morning is going to be poured into you. I just love that image. And I don't know about you, but my soul is like going, wow. Thank you, God, for loving me that much that every day you know that I need more of you. Because my soul sometimes gets lost in all this horizontal world. But when I experience the vertical, the unfailing love of God, my soul is reunited and alive. And then he goes, and you can kind of hear his soul and his spirit is getting up a little bit here. He says, I say to God, my rock. Then all of a sudden his soul is like, oh, wait a minute. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? It's like you can see the battle, can't you? It's the same battle that you and I have. One day your soul is like, whew, we're doing good. The next day the soul's like, man, I'm so down. I'm so overwhelmed. And you can hear the psalmist wrestling with that, this daily thing sometimes. But reminding him of his soul, and that's what he says next. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed? Stop looking at all these horizontal things. Stop looking at all life situations. Stop looking at all the conditions of this world. Because the conditions of this world are going to be done away with. We have a hope that is beyond this world. We have a hope in a God that's eternal, who has a place where there is no more pain, and that's called heaven. There's no more suffering. There's no more sickness. And it's like in that moment, he's like going, stop. Stop, soul. Remember this God, the ruler of heaven and earth, the one who's created it, the one that can hold the oceans in the palm of his hands. Remember him? Come on, soul. Don't be so disturbed. And then he goes, for I will yet praise him, my God and my Savior. The reality is that we all face these very difficult moments. Sometimes we can point to a significant event that's causing this downcast, but there's other times that we can't point to a specific moment that's caused this deep, deep pain inside of us. But the reality is we all have moments of that. How do we keep that soul from going so low that we're just kind of wallowing in the mud? and we're just living in darkness. Well, the psalmist says real clear, praising God, remembering his promises, and praying. It's in those moments where he's pouring his unfailing love into you at a level that you and I cannot comprehend. And in those moments when you and I bow before him in prayer and we just lift up our hands in worship, and sometimes you can't even say a word, you're just saying, God, I'm here. He's restoring the soul. And so some of you, I know that struggle with that. I know some of you have a weight that you're carrying that is so burdensome. How do we deal with that? How do we get rid of some of those things? I love what it says in the Psalm 81, and this is going to be out of the NLT. This is verse 6. It says, "How will I take the load from your shoulders?" And it says, "Now I will take the load from your shoulders. I will free your hands from their heavy tasks. You cried to me in trouble, and I saved you. I answered out of the thundercloud and tested your faith when there was no water at Meribah." How do you begin that process? You cry out, don't you? You cry out from the depths of your soul and the anguish and the hurt. And in the anguish and the hurt, when we're crying out, what it says is God hears us and he answers us. And I love the I think this is the out of the Message, and it says this: "I took the world off your shoulders. I took the world off your shoulders. I took all the weight. I took all the burdens of guilt, all the burdens of shame, all the burdens of being overwhelmed. I took that. I took the world off your shoulders, and I freed you from hard labor. You called to me in pain, and I got you out of a bad place. I answered you from where the thunder hides." For us, this is so amazing when you start to think about the cross. The cross is the place where Jesus took on all the weight of our anxieties, all the weight of our sin, all the guilt that we carry around, all the overwhelmed feelings that we have. He took that all in the cross. And when we cry out and when we come before the cross and we just go, God, I am just overwhelmed and my soul is weary, we look to the cross and we see mercy and we see love and we see a Savior who gave up his life for us. And not only that, we see a Savior that broke through the tomb and burst forth and is alive. Meaning, he overcame death. He overcame this world. So whatever we're facing, we would cry out to him and we have trust that this world is not all there is. And I'm going to put joy and I'm going to put hope in my salvation because of what he did. He took away all that pain. He took away all the anxiety. He took away all the fear. He took away all the guilt and the shame. And we have to start living and talking to our soul and telling our soul, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation from God. And then you start to walk in the freedom. He says, I took the world off your shoulders. The world of pain, the world of all the things that you deal with, I took that off your shoulders for you. What a beautiful God we have. But we have to, in those moments when we're so downcast, we have to get back to that point where we say, I believe this. I know this to be true. We have to cling to our faith at a level we've never clinged to before when our soul is so downcast and we're overwhelmed. And when I talk about faith, it's believing that God is good no matter what. It's believing that what he did on the cross was for your best interest because he loved you. And without faith, your soul is never going to rest. So we have to have faith. We have to cling to praise. We have to cling to prayer. There's a in the Old Testament, there's so many different stories where you see these moments where people are so overwhelmed. And as we're on our way down to the hospital to see Kevin, and my wife was reading something on her phone, and I kind of said, "What do you read on your phone?" And because, you know, I'm just like, "Well, talk to me, do something, because right now I don't know what to think about." And she goes, "I'm reading my devotion." And I said, "Okay, read it to me." And she read her devotion to me, and the words really spoke to me. And when we're finding ourselves in trouble, when we're finding ourselves in overwhelmed times, it is looking to God. And some of the devotion came out of 2 Kings, and if you want to read 2 Kings 12 and through chapter 14, just a great time where you can see God working in Israel. Even though the kings of Israel are doing what's wrong in the eyes of the Lord, they're leading the people away from God. As soon as they turn back to God, what's so beautiful is God is merciful and compassionate, and He hears them, and He relents. Even though that they're not doing everything right, even though they're even sometimes far away from Him, as soon as they listen to Him, all of a sudden He turns to them, and He delivers them. And then there's one of the kings, Joash. He was probably one of the best ones. It says that he did what was right in the Lord's eyes, and I would say some of the time. But God continued to show him mercy. And this is the scripture that they shared. Not the whole, but I'm going to share the whole. It's out of 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 15 through 19. Elijah told him, this is the king, "Get a bow and some arrows." And the king did it as he told him. Elijah told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elijah laid down his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded him, "Open the eastern window." And he opened it. Then he said, "Shoot." So he shot an arrow, and Elijah proclaimed, "This is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram. For you will completely conquer the Arameans at Pekah." Then he said, "Now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground." And so the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. But the man of God was angry with him. "You should have struck the ground five or six times," he exclaimed. "Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times." And as I kind of read those words and reflected a little bit on what Angie said, I started thinking, what a great moment this was. Aram, a great army, coming against them. They're overwhelmed. Prophet of God speaks. "I want you to do something kind of weird. I want you to get some arrows and shoot out that eastern window." Oh, that shows you that this is an arrow that God is going to give you victory. And then he says, "I want you to take those arrows and I want you to hit them against the ground." And the guy only does it three times. And then Elijah is so angry. He says, "If you would have done that five or six times, God would have gave you complete victory over him." And this is what I started to think. When my soul is so downcast and so overwhelmed, too often I give up. I stop bowing to the ground and beating the arrows to the ground. I stop crying out to God going, "I need you to deliver me." And I started to think, what would happen if I would have just got down one more time? Just one more time. Was the victory right there? But because I let my soul dictate, because it was so downcast, what I really knew, that God is for us. And he's always going to bring a victory. And as I started to think about that, I started to think about another verse, that because I think Jesus makes it really clear. Jesus wants our souls restored. When he came into the world, he came to make right our relationship with God, but he came to give us a better life here and now. And he says these words out of Matthew. And if we can put our minds around this complex promise, it's a complex promise. But the things that we're facing that are making us overwhelmed are also very complex. So we need a complex answer to those problems. And it's found in this promise. And Jesus says these words in Matthew, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give, it's light. So come to me." It's a simple promise. He says, come. It's an invitation to come into his presence and put our faith into what he's done on the cross. He says, first of all, you got to come. And he doesn't make any crazy promises. He doesn't have like 12 different steps. If you do this, this, and this, then your soul is going to find rest and you're going to find peace. All you have to do is this. Come. Come to me. It's so simple but so complex. But he says, I am the creator of all things. I know the deepest thing that you're struggling with, the thing that you've been hiding from, the thing that you avoid to talk to anybody about. I know it. And I can give you rest from that. But you got to come to me, come to the cross, and let that burden stay there. Because he's already paid the price for it. He's already carried the weight of it. But he says, come to me. What a promise, what a simple promise it is. And when you start to think about it, what is he saying? He says, believe in who I am. Believe in why I came. Believe that my sacrifice was complete. My sacrifice paid for your burdens, paid for your guilt, paid for your shame. My sacrifice is complete and full. And you have to believe that from the innermost being. And you have to, from your intellect, tell your soul, soul, remember what Christ did. Soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you so weary? Well, you're looking at all these things in the horizontal world. Look up. Look up to Jesus. Look at what he did on the cross. And you praise. You praise him. And you believe with every fiber in your being. He says, come to me. Now another verse says, come to me and cast all of your anxieties. That comes out of 1 Peter 5:7. Come to me, cast all of your anxieties. Cast them. It's like throw them, get rid of them. Stop carrying them around. He took the weight of them. He's paid the penalty. Cast them to him. And then another verse says, trust in me with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And when we believe in him, he says, you'll find rest for your soul when you come to me. Rest for your souls. I think that's what we're all looking for, isn't it? We want rest. We want peace. We want hope. And the psalmist says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God, not on me. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. What's the scripture telling us? That Jesus, he's the answer to every question, every fear, every concern that you have. When you start to recognize he is all that, he is complete for us and all of our needs, we begin to have rest. Then he says, take my yoke. Learn from me. So I read that, I started to think, what is Jesus talking about, a yoke? Because what a yoke is what an oxen would wear. And more work would have to happen. But Jesus says, take my yoke. Is he calling us to more work? Well, there's some verses that Jesus explains this. In John chapter 6, verse 29, he says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So that's the work of God, that we believe in him. He's not calling us to more work. He's calling us to belief. That's the work that he's calling us to. Then in John chapter 15, verse 4, he says, remain in me, or some versions say, abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear its fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So it is our work. Our work is to remain in him, abide in him, live in him, live through him. Understand that he is the answer to everything that we're looking for. He's not calling you to more work. He's calling you to put on his yoke, to believe, and fully trust in his promises. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So Jesus' invitation is to come, to put on his yoke and find rest. And when we find rest in him because of what he's done for us, and we have that deep belief, it says in Philippians that he's going to supply all of your needs from his glorious riches. God's glorious riches never run out. They're beyond our comprehension. He says, I'm going to provide everything. I'm going to provide that rest for your soul. There's a song that I was listening to and taking the words of my message and putting it in my own heart to lift it because my soul was so weary. And the song has come to me, and it's by Jen Johnson, and I'm just going to read these words. It says, I am the Lord your God. I go before you now. I stand beside you. I'm all around you. And though you feel I am far away, I am closer than your breath. I am with you more than you know. I am the Lord your peace. No evil will conquer you. Steady now your heart and mind. Come into my rest. Let your faith arise and lift up your weary head. I am with you wherever you go. Come to me. I am all you need. Come to me. I am everything. Come to me. I am all you need. Come to me. I am your everything. I am your anchor in the wind and the waves, and I am your steadfast, so do not be afraid. Though your heart and your flesh may fail you, I am your faithful strength, and I am with you wherever you go. Come to me. I am all you need. Come to me. I am your everything. Come to me. I am all you need. Come to me. I am your everything. Do not look to the right or to the left. Keep your eyes on me. You will not be shaken. You will not be moved. I am the hand to hold. I am the truth. I am the way. Just come to me. Come to me. Because that's all you need. Maybe you come this morning and you have a heavy soul. I would just invite you just to come to him. The band's going to come up and they're going to play a couple of songs. The first song, it's It Is Well. And I'm just going to ask that during that time that you just remain seated and that you let those words speak deep to your soul. If you are so overwhelmed and you need somebody to pray for you and you wanted to come forward and you just wanted to have a moment with God and let him just restore your soul, then please feel free. This is always open during worship. But just let these words, just let it be a plea from your soul to God, going, God, I'm just praising you right now. And I'm going to find my trust and my hope in you completely. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, We just thank you that you are so, so good to us. That you know our emotions, you know our heart, you know our soul, you know everything that we need. You know the depths of our pain. You know the greatest joys that we have. And we thank you for being a God that just knows us and that is so near. And Lord, I would ask that you would lift the souls that are just so overwhelmed right now. People who are dealing with things that they've never even spoke of. Lord, would your Spirit just minister to them? Would you refresh them? Give them rest. Give them hope. And restore the life to their bones, Lord. We thank you for being a great God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.